Good morning. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of the partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Fellow students of the Word, what really brings you joy? Is it getting complimented for a job well done, or is it getting an A on a tough test or on a tough paper? Is it a certain video game or a certain toy that brings you joy? Or maybe it's a vacation, just getting away from it all. Perhaps it's the joy that we feel when someone that we know that's sick gets better. And it might be even something as simple as a good meal at a restaurant with good friends. But I'm certain that one thing that absolutely would not bring you joy would be to be thrown in prison. It's hard to picture many places that are worse than prison, yet that's where Paul found himself when he wrote this epistle to the Philippians. And in chapter 1, verse 13, Paul tells us that the reason that he was thrown in prison wasn't because of any crime that he had committed. It was nothing that he had done wrong, but it was simply because he was a follower of Christ. Paul suffered much in his ministry. When the Lord spoke to Ananias as he was sending him to Paul, he wasn't joking when he said that he was going to show Paul how much he was going to suffer for the name of Christ. Right from the beginning of his ministry, even while Paul was still in Damascus, the Jews had plotted to kill him. At Iconium, they tried to stone him. At Lystra, the next place he went to, they did stone him. And this wasn't his first imprisonment. We could go on and on as we look through the book of Acts and see all that Paul had suffered. And so for this reason, as he is in prison, we might expect, as he writes the letter to the Philippians, a more somber tone to the letter. Yet, throughout this book, we see the theme of joy. It's one of the most joyful books in all of Scripture. We saw that already in the short portion of Philippians that we read, that he remembers the Philippians in his prayers with joy. And the book culminates then, this theme of joy culminates in chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 with these words. Paul says, remember, in his chains in prison, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." How could Paul say these words, considering where he was? How could he have so much joy? How many of us would be able to have so much joy in a similar circumstance? We don't find ourselves in prison, but we do have chains in this world. Maybe it's stresses at home or in school. Then, of course, there is that bigger chain that weighs us all down. It's that chain of our sin, a chain of that old man that lives in us. These chains seem to make life anything but joyful. So how can we have joy in our chains as Paul did when he wrote this epistle? Well, we find the answer in verse 6 of our text. Listen to these words again. "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ." The basis for Paul's joy in his circumstances was the knowledge that the Spirit that had created faith in him and also in the Philippians was going to be preserved by the Spirit working in them. God was not going to forsake them. He was not going to leave them to fight their spiritual enemies on their own, to grow in faith on their own. These things are not possible anyway. As they heard the gospel, the Spirit would preserve them until judgment day, when the Lord would come again and take them to the home that he had prepared for them in heaven. What a relief it is to know that God will not abandon us. What a joy it is to know that the Lord will keep us until the last day. And how can we know this for certain? Just look at the expense that the Lord paid to have us as his own. The scripture says that God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. God gave us his son. Think about that. Think about the effort to have us. Jesus kept all of the commandments and transferred his perfect life to us. He carried the burden of our sin to the cross to suffer the curse for God's anger in our place. Because of that expense, because of that effort to erase our sins and to prepare that place for us in heaven, we can be sure that God will keep us in the faith. What a wonderful reason for joy. But the chains of this world often weigh us down, and at those times it can be easy to forget all that the Lord has done for us in Christ. There are plenty of times and situations that we can think of where we were sure that nobody could get us out of them, not even God himself. And so that we can be even more sure, the Lord gives us the means of grace. He gives us those visible signs of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism with which the Lord clothes us with the righteousness of Christ. The Lord's Supper with which the Lord pronounces to us that our sins are forgiven. He gives us his word as a constant reminder of his love and forgiveness and of the home that he has prepared for us in heaven. He uses these means to preserve us in faith and in love for Jesus. Knowing this, how can we help but be joyful? How can we help but give thanks for the joy that the Lord has created in our heart, that and that knowledge that he will preserve us in the faith? This was Paul's joy even in his chains. And this is the reason for our joy, even in the midst of ours. May you always be filled with the confidence and joy that comes from the Lord. Amen. We conclude by singing hymn 351. We'll sing verses 1 and 4.